Hello, everyone. I'm Mark Dorenkamp with Brownfield reporting from the 2018 NAFB convention in Kansas City. I'm joined by Christine McCracken, senior animal protein analyst for Rabobank, who specializes in the pork and poultry markets.
We have a team of analysts around the world that actually adds to our research in other parts of the world. But my focus is strictly North America.
I was at World Pork Expo back in June, and I talked to Jim Heimerl, the president of the Pork Producers Council. And at that time, he talked about ag being kind of the tip of the spear in these trade battles. And he was talking, of course, about China. But I know that with pork, Mexico is a very important market, too. So certainly welcome news that we're moving forward with USMCA, but it needs to get through Congress still.
Yeah, and we're actually still facing the steel and aluminum tariffs. So until those are lifted, they won't lift the 20% tariff on pork exports. So it's certainly good news that we've come to an agreement on USMCA, and hopefully that'll get ratified in early 19. I think Secretary Perdue is hopeful, and our folks in the trade office. But generally, without those tariffs being lifted, we're still going to lose a big part of the value of that carcass. So we've got to get those lifted for sure.
How big of an impact has the Chinese pork tariff been?
Well, if nothing else, it's been disruptive. So, we didn't export a lot to China, certainly a lot of offal. 85% of our offal products were going to China, so it's lost value. But in the grand scheme of things, a smaller market. I think more than anything, it's lost opportunity, because with the outbreak of African swine fever, obviously they're going to be needing a lot more product. And as part of that, we could certainly supply it. We have record supplies here in the U.S., and certainly we'd like to be a big supplier to China. But until those 72% tariffs come off, it's going to be very challenging for us to get our product there. Not impossible, but challenging. But there should be an offset to that. We should be able to export to some markets that maybe we're getting product that is now being redirected toward China. So it's not a zero-sum game here. We should be able to get a benefit from the lost exports to China.
So on poultry, a few years ago we had the high path avian flu outbreak and saw some markets close their doors to U.S. poultry. Where are we at with those doors reopening?
Well, the biggest market is China, and there's been no progress. Again, it's all tied to this steel and aluminum tariff situation. So we were getting really close to having that resolved this fall, and that's now out the door until we can get those other bigger issues resolved. But, they've, again, as you mentioned, we've made some progress with other countries, reopened some markets in India. South Africa is a new potential market, Colombia. So there's some things happening, I think, on the export front that maybe don't get as much attention in the headlines. But certainly long term, we need all of those markets to grow, to find some homes for our product.
Is Cuba one of those markets where you look at the embargo, and if the U.S. were to kind of move that forward and get the embargo removed, that it could put a dent in some of the ag products that the U.S. could export to Cuba?
Well, Cuba is actually one of our top poultry markets for exports. It's been a fantastic market, and I think growth this year is up in the high double digits, so a fantastic growth market for us. Some question about the demand growth there long term, but certainly a big part of our growth picture because of the proximity, obviously. But as their economy grows, it's going to be a massive market, I think, for our U.S. protein products. So I'm excited about Cuba, and I think that, really these near-term, any near-term constraints we have around Cuba trade are going to be kind of inconsequential long-term.
Back to pork. With African swine fever, there continue to be more cases in China. I think it's eclipsed 50 now. I mean, do you expect that we're going to see that number continue to grow, or have you been given reason to believe that they're starting to get that contained?
It's big, and we've had 59 official reported cases, but the key here is official, because the government's really shut down reporting of a lot of these new cases. It's hit, I think, all 14 of the major production regions with the exception of one, the largest. But, our view is that it spread throughout China. So whether it's reported or not, what we do know is the losses have been massive, and they're going to continue. It's going to be nearly impossible for them to get this under control, given the structure of the industry. So they have half of their pigs in backyard operations that just generally they can't control the spread of that disease. So until they completely change the structure of their hog industry, it's going to be nearly impossible for them to get it under control, if ever. So the bigger question is, what kind of opportunity does this create longer term for the U.S.? My personal opinion is they'll move toward a commercial U.S.-style production operation in other parts of the country that they don't currently produce in today. But I think that that's going to take a long time. And in that gap, the U.S. can supply products. So hopefully we'll get the trade issues resolved and we'll get access to that market.
Anything else on pork or poultry, Christine, that you want to make sure we talk about today?
Well, I think a big challenge for 2019 is still going to be labor. I think, from my perspective, finding enough qualified workers or people that want to work in the plant and on farm is going to continue to be a struggle for the industry. Focusing on ways you can retain and attract workers is going to be a central focus for all of the operators. And, it's going to raise costs and it's not going to get easier. So I think that's where I'd leave it right now.
That's Christine McCracken with Rabobank. I'm Mark Dorenkamp reporting from the 2018 NAFB Convention in Kansas City for Brownfield.